الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد. We are discussing about Parda of Women. Just before that, Ramadan is coming. We heard the great virtues and importance, and with regard to that one aspect, just to put it in our way of talking, that Shaytan has applied for an early retirement package. He has promised that till the day of Qiyamah, and for every person till his mort, he will make effort. But seeing the conditions, looks like he has asked for an early retirement package. In fact, he has taken it already. And now he's living in the resorts, and people just go and visit him occasionally. And for two reasons which come to mind, that he feels, I don't have to do any work anymore. In fact, Bani Adam, son of Adam, is doing my work more better than me also. So let me go early retirement. And one of the two is the food that we are eating. If we are eating doubtful food, in fact haram food, then carry on with as much ibadah. Shaitan got no worry. He doesn't have to make effort on that person. Let him make whole night ibadah, whole Ramzan. Lot of du'as also, lot of charity also. But if our income is haram, our food is haram, then Shaitan doesn't have to do anything. We are our own Shaitan then. So with regard to that, one thing we must consider, as one brother has explained, and it's a thing of great concern, each one of us worry for ourselves. He says that the chickens which are slaughtered at the slaughterhouses, you got your halal, it's halal certified. That is there. Accept it. It's halal certified. But think for yourselves. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif, أَوَلَمْ يَتَفَكَّرُوا. Why don't you think? In another place Allah says, قُلْ إِنَّمَا عَيْدُكُمْ بِوَاحْدٍ أَنْ تَقُومُوا لِلَّهِ مَثْنَا وَفُرَادًا ثُمَّ تَتَفَكَّرُوا. Think for yourself. Allah Ta'ala says, وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاءِ. Those who are prayed, who ponder, who think. So with regard to this, that the slaughterer who slaughters, now you got your halal certificate, it's certified halal. But now see, think for yourself, that slaughterer in 1 minute he has to slaughter 40 chickens. Right? He's in a standing position, he's got a mask on, and the blood is flowing, flying. As he's slaughtering, the blood is oozing out. And 40, in 1 minute, 40 chickens. So, in our 2,400 chickens he slaughtered. And he's working an 8-hour shift, half an hour lunch break, and another half hour for toilet or something. 7 hours he's working. That comes out to 16,800 chickens in a day he's slaughtering. Now, this person says, you think for yourself, yeah, coolness, sitting down, fans are on, comfort, no blood flying around you, you got no mask on you. Can you say for 1 hour continuously, Bismillah Allahu Akbar, Bismillah Allahu Akbar, Bismillah Allahu Akbar, Bismillah Allahu Akbar? I'm just saying it 2-4 times, and at my age now, I'm running out of breath. But that's a young person. But then too, who of us can say for 1 hour, if you think you'll manage, will you manage for the 2nd hour? If you'll manage for 1 hour, will you manage for 7 hours? And a person who says, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, 16,800 times, he will be the greatest wali in the world. But these people, they have signed affidavit that we don't read Bismillah. We can't manage it. They have signed sworn affidavits of the slaughterers that we cannot manage. And if you can manage in 1 day, anyone, the strongest person, most pious person, 16,800 times, try it for 5 days in the week, will you manage? So think what we are eating. And then that chicken comes, it's hung upside down. Now think of yourself being hung upside down. And you are going to the slaughterhouse. How? When the blood is like that, you are hanging upside down. And then it is stunned. It is given an electric shock. And the shock is that if a person takes a brick and throws it on your head and you go in concussion. And some may die immediately. Some might still live a few seconds. So the chicken, all of them, how much they can take is different. Some die before they come to the slaughterer. Those that are living, they are may brain dead. And then when that happens, when animals are stunned, as the university study of the University of Bonn in University of Germany had conducted, then that animal, most of its blood, 99% remains in the body. And when you're eating now, you'll be having that blood, which is most unhealthy and most untasty, where meat which has got blood in it. So that blood is left. Then the slaughterer, how many is he slaughtering? Then afterwards, for de-feathering, they got a boiling water in which the chicken goes, so that the chicken, the skin, the feathers can come off easily. And that again, with the boiling water, all the intestines, the dirt, the filth, the waste of the chicken is in the stomach. So when that hot water boiling, it mixes with all the meat and everything. And after that, it's de-feathered. Then it's packed in a beautiful packet, very neat and tidy, with a halal certificate on it. Now think for ourselves. And this person is from Durban, he writes. He says, he writes there with stress that all the halim in all the masjids of Durban are prepared from this chicken. So for your one bowl of halim, you have bartered all your du'as of your Ramzan. All your ibadat, your tarawih, your tilawat of Quran Sharif, all your things, you have bartered it away. So we should think for ourselves. So when this is our condition, shaitan doesn't have to work on us. We have become our own shaitan. And this is so common. This is the end. Also think that the price of these chicken of the slaughter houses are all just about half the price of a chicken. If somebody in your neighborhood goes and slaughter on a farm and he comes and sells to you, hand slaughtered, no stunning, nothing. That is about half the price. And we all, just because of that half, we want to save those few hands, and we are prepared to forgo halal. And it's not that we haven't got money. We are not spending, we are wasting money on so many other things. Isn't halal more important for us? That we all see that we get halal. Instead of saving that few rand on the chicken, that is not only doubtful, but we can see it just cannot, nobody can comprehend that it is permissible. Though your halal certificate is there, but you can think for yourself. So let us spend the extra money. And most towns used to have, I don't know now, where people used to go in the neighborhood, there were some people who used to go to the farms and slaughter and come and sell. They take their orders and they come and deliver that. If that is not happening in our town, start it off. Encourage some brothers. Let's start this business here. It will be business for them also, and we will have halal food. Though still it will be the broilers, which is not the best, but at least it will be halal. And we will have itminan. And those people, they will make an income also. And if we have to pay even double the price. But for halal, we must be prepared at any cost. Halal is the most important. We can't sacrifice halal for a few rand. So we should think. And that is now, the meat which is coming at home, which we are having. Then when Ramzan comes, all the women, and the women have to do it because the men want it. And all the white meat, all the fillet. And in that case, even the person who slaughters, like goes to a farm, he can't satisfy the need of so much of fillet and white meat. Then they all go and buy from there. And all that is that which is, there's so much of doubt in that. So we should, the droza doesn't open only with samosa or with pie. We get used to it and we don't have to have our samosa and our pies and all the white meat and the fillet. And roza is not about eating. Roza is about fasting. Roza is about pleasing Allah. Roza is not about pleasing our nafs and what we want to eat. And this is a global thing, the whole world. In India, our little villages, they also now, where they should only have proper chicken, desi, farm chicken, and slaughtered properly, they also now, this has become common. So we should be very, very careful. So that is that what we eat, and that is at home. And then again, the takeaway thing has become so common that there are very few people, even good, pious people, who are not buying from the takeaways. And the takeaways, there is no question, they only buy that chicken because their object is profit. So they will never opt for a more expensive chicken. That chicken is only that, and we have become such great slaves of our taste buds. Just the tongue, which is 3-4 centimeters, just to satisfy that, we don't worry about halal or anything. We just want to have that kind of chicken. We want to have all that from the takeaways. And that is almost 100% a write-off. We cannot think of it, even health-wise, even deeni-wise, we can't think of it. So we should think. So when that is the case, what work has Shaitan got left? He's got no work. And the other reason why Shaitan has got no work and his work is being done better, that not only the non-Muslims, Jews, Christians, atheists, Zionists or anything, not only the Muslims, but the ulama of the Muslims. And not the ulama who studied like in Egypt, for example, or he studied in Medina University, but the ulama who studied in our madrasa and under our great, great Mashayikh, when they have become now the forefront leader of like the Abrahamic Accord, about the Gulen movement thing, about all that. So even ulama will be involved in guna. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahmatullah alayhi says, when ulama will be involved in haram, the public, there will be irtidad. They will go out of the fold of Islam. They will give up Islam. And just that we are seeing what is happening in the public, so many people are giving up Islam, is a clear reflection of what the condition of the ulama. So that is such a big guna. But the ulama, not only that, but they are now destroying the deen of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And funny statement, what we call our ulama, about sunnat, about lifestyle of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what remarks they make. And promoting the Gulen movement, the Motsafi Foundation, which is fully Abrahamic Accord, the interfaith thing and that. So when they are doing that, and then worse than that, they are leading the ummah towards Jahannam. Now what work has Shaitan got left now? He doesn't have to work anymore. He's gone. He's at early retirement. And then all of us go there regularly to the resort. And we just go and report to him. And as it comes in the hadith, he sits on his throne in the sea. And most of the resorts, many resorts are near the beaches, near the sea. And then he just went and give them report and he'll praise these people. MashaAllah, the work you are doing. He won't say MashaAllah. That what work you are doing. You put me early retirement. I don't have to work hard anymore. Now he also perhaps, the old age comes to him also perhaps. Now he says, you will relieve me. Allah give us tawfiq to understand. And that our Ramadan is coming, where inshallah we all will be eager, passionate to make more ibadat. Allah give us also that tawfiq. But if we are on the other hand eating all these things, then all our nice ibadat, how many stay awake at night? Our getting up for safe, our eating of the sehri, our eating, opening the roza and the iftari, if that is what all these kind of things, then what is our condition? Allah give us tawfiq. And if we can, there is Dr. Ismail Rawat in Impangani. He's a medical doctor, but he buys his 3-week-old chicken. And he's got a little cage where he keeps them for 3 weeks more. And he gives them proper feed. And he says, I have to do it 3 or 4 times a year only. Then the chickens, we slaughter them at home and we deep freeze them. and we've got enough chicken. Kurbani time, he makes more kurbani than that kurbani meat lasts him the whole year. So there is no question of him buying from outside. And he's a lover of fish, mostly he eats fish. And if it is chicken, it's from the what you grew up yourself and you slaughtered your. So we all can do it, and just in our backyard, we have just enough place where you can keep some of this chicken, and then every 3-4 months slaughter them, and then deep freeze them, and there you have got your chicken. And we have to come out of our habit for all this white meat and the fillet and all that. And then all of us, Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali has also said that we must take out of our mind that this halal is not available anymore. There is only haram. Halal is available. We must just make that little effort. Allah will not give us the command to eat halal, and Allah did not put halal around us. There is halal. We can do it. It's just a little bit of effort from our side, and we can get not only halal, but halal and tayyiban. And then see, automatically our amal will be amal saliha. And then a goodness that will flow from there. Every second person got cancer today. And the other second person, illness which the doctors can't diagnose, they can't make out what's it. Just see that our eating comes right. Allah give us tawfiq. And then see who we are following. And who we should be following, respecting, honoring. Whose programs are we arranging? Whose programs and which ulama are we supporting? And whoever we are supporting, we are with those people. If we are supporting the ulama haq, we are counted amongst them. And these other type of ulama, even if we just show respect to them, and we honor them, we arrange their program, we make announcements for their programs, we are part of all that also. No further, we haven't done anything, but we are fully part of all those evils. And the worst things are happening, and it's unbelievable what that even shaitan is gone on early retirement. He also gave up. He also, I give up now. Where those people, what they doing, they put and not mess our Ramadan. We have messed more than enough Ramadan. And how many Ramadans are left? Who knows? Whether even this Ramadan, Allah be kind to us, bless us with the blessings of Ramadan. Regularly we should make the dua also. Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban wa ballighna Ramadan. Allahumma sallimna li Ramadan wa sallim Ramadan lana wa sallimhu lana mutaqabbala. Allah grant us all inshallah. There was this lady, Fatima bint Attar Baghdadi. A lady, her brother says about her, she only left home on 3 occasions. One was when she got married, then she went to her husband's house. The other was when she went for Hajj. And the other was when her janazah went out of the house. And that is how a woman, a Muslim woman, should really stay. As far as possible, only stay at home. We discussed that a little bit. But very, very little it is. Much more is required. Then when a woman has to go out, and Sharia has permitted, even for worldly matters, a woman wants to go and visit her mother, for example, wants to go and visit her daughter, her sister, Sharia has permitted she can go out. And for dini matters also, she can go out. Yeah, also we should consider there are those women who don't attend any tabligh programs, for example. They say, no, we follow the ruling that women must stay at home. Very good. But then you see them in shopping malls. And you see them at the resorts. But for some taleem program or some bayan, ulama bayan or anything, then they say, no, we're not of that school of thought. We stay at home, we don't go out. But then they are at those other places. At the shopping malls, you see them there. Then you see them at the resorts for holidays, etc. So that should not be the case. And when a woman has to go out, like in all other matters, Allah give us tawfiq, that don't we determine ourselves that it is a legitimate reason. Find out from a mufti that I want to go for this, is it permissible for me? with this that we are going, and we are looking at one another. Mufti Saab's wife is driving, and Maulana's wife is doing this, and Haji Saab's wife is doing this, and just if all are eating, the S word of the toilet doesn't mean we also must start eating it. No matter who is eating it, it doesn't justify for us to eat it. We should find out. We see today commonly also people sitting on the chairs in the masjid. And that also see that is my reason, is it valid or not? Today just seeing one another, many youngsters also are sitting on chairs. And they got really, just it's more comfortable now. Then they don't want to take that little trouble of making namaz as normal. If a person has got his problems, back problems, knee problems, he's justified, that is in order. But let us not make our own decision. Like for example, a person keeps a beard, just a small beard on his chin. What you call that beard?
Koti.
Jee?
Koti.
Koti.
Goaty,
goaty, like a little goat, or a French beard. So he's happy in his mind, I got a beard. But is that counted as a beard? Well, it's not counted. And in that, we did make a bayan on the beard, and sometimes we have to refresh it also, that there are many good, good people, really, genuinely good people. But the beard, Manatani Rahmatullahi said, if it's one hair, less than what it's supposed to be, the guna is exactly the same of keeping no beard. So if a person got that, he's happy, I got a beard. But when you go in the qabr, no beard you hear. He will wonder, I had a beard, but I'm, yeah, it's declared no beard. And this we can understand, we go for some work, you go for a visa application, you go for your ID card, or anything else. One document, one was left. One thing, the date was not right. And one thing is out, there they refuse you. And if you are living somewhere far away, you travel by taxi, by bus, train, you came here and you took off the day, and it not only a day, it took you 2-3 days. And yeah, all, everything, just because that. So everything, our namazis also, whether we are making on the, sitting on the chair or anything. For women leaving the home also. But if just to justify, all the women are going out, so I also can go out. You may justify, is that reason valid? For deen's sake, for dunya's sake, Islam has permitted. Even for deen, there are valid reasons when the woman can leave the home, and even for the deen's sake, for dunya's sake also. But is my, am I justified or not? You're not just that everyone else is doing it, so it applies to me also. Or just I think I have to go. It is necessary that I have to go. A woman has to go for some medical treatment, for example. So she has to leave the home to go to the doctor, to go to the hospital. But let us find out that is it permissible for me to leave. At least get some guidelines. Every time we can't ask, of course. But and that is also, we're leaving so much that we can't ask every time. If we were leaving only according to real necessity, then every time we will be able to ask. There will be once in a while, once in a year, once in 5 years you have to leave. Then no problem. But this, in the 24 hours, 10, 15, 20 times we're leaving the house, so how are you going to ask every time? So we must see whether we are justified or not. Whether it's for deen or whether it is for dunya. When this goes out of hand, we see so much now, almost all our women are driving also. Not only leaving the house, but they are driving. And they drive then within the suburb, within the, where we are staying, what? Our area where we are. But very soon then they are going further. So much so, now they're traveling in the world without mahram also. And good, good people's wives. Now without mahram, we can travel. So when you don't curb it, it just goes. Therefore, there are those ulama who nip it in the bud. And just, they don't allow at all. Because the minute a little permission is, then we just want to take more and more, and we go right out of control. But according to Sharia, there is permission, but let us see that properly. And then again, when we do go out, when the woman do leave the home, then there are other conditions also. She must only go out how much it is necessary. Not now, she went out for a necessity, it was allowed. But now she's adding other things also. She went and visited her mother, next to the mother, there is a friend also. Now went and visit the friend also. And from there, somebody else also. From there, somebody else also. And for women also, to be meeting other women and mixing. For one, as we know, that nobody knows who is listening. All are talking all the time. So that meeting also is just, they are talking all the time, there is nobody listening. So what real good is in that meeting also? So anyway, so it must be limited to the necessity. And then her dressing again. It comes clearly in the riwayat of Abu Dawud Sharif that when a woman leaves, she should leave in an untidy way. She shouldn't be smart. And how women are dolled up, even with their burqa and their hijab and all the tight-fitting hijab they have and the fancy all bead work and everything on it. Even their niqab, all funny color. Their headgear is a different color. Niqab is a different color. They perhaps introduced all the rainbow colors before the other people thought of them. So she must go out in a sloppy way. And she mustn't walk like on this, in the middle of the road. Right on the side of the road where she has to walk. In other words, like instead of sitting in the front seat, she should sit in the back seat. Then the headrest of the front seat is also blocks her tremendously. On that, one great alim of UK passed away some time ago. Somebody explained about him that he never sat in the front seat of the car. And he said that sitting in the back seat, your eyes, you do lift your eyes and they fall. So he's just looking at the headrest. If you're in the front seat, your eye, and especially UK, Europe, we know what the dressing is. All the time, and here is also no difference now. So for a woman, even more, if she will sit on the back seat, it will save her tremendously. Or she must take, in short, all the precautions. And her voice, she must be careful about. Then her perfume. When she goes out, she must not put perfume that can attract anyone. Though she's completely quiet and she's keeping to herself. If she's traveling, like for example, she has to travel by taxi. And she has to go somewhere. And now she's got all that perfume. It's attracting everyone's attention. And this is another very important point, that just our attitude, how we behave, that is a thing which brings a lot of harm or goodness according to what we behave. For example, the perfume. That perfume, it works on the senses of the mind. And a person gets inclined, just like it comes in the hadith, that music is the stepping stone to adultery. When you hear music, your emotions are aroused. And then you go, you start thinking of committing adultery. The same thing perfume also does. And when you are getting that, then everyone who is in that bus, who is in that train, in the plane, wherever we are, they also. And they all start getting ideas of that woman. Though she may be pure in her thoughts, but they will get negative ideas about her. In that also, another very important thing which we should consider, even our woman folk who stay at home, and they've got the gardener working. And they just like friendly with the gardener. And they give him some food also. They want to be good to the gardener. Genuinely. But he's getting another idea. And he thinks that this auntie, she's got some ideas. And many of rape cases happen in this way. Because she is pure in her mind. She's just doing it out of kindness. And he's got the wrong idea. And he's expecting her to respond. When and she doesn't, then he rapes her. And many of these cases happen. Whether it is even in the home, the woman stays at home. We got the gardener working, we got somebody else working. And very sadly now, we are following the trend of other neighboring countries where male workers in the house. Usually we had female workers, and at home mostly the females are at home. So though they, even if they are non-Muslim female workers, and our women are female, and mostly they, the men are out of the house. And even if the men are at home, the males, the females are there. But now with the male workers, this trend that is coming, cooks are now the male workers. The workers in the house are male, and they are with the woman the whole day. And the woman wants work for done from them, she shows them some kindness. They're getting a wrong message. They're taking a wrong message. And lot of terrible things are happening. So parda in Islam is the ideal thing for a healthy society, for the children to grow up in a proper way, and to have a healthy mind, healthy soul, healthy deen. All the laws of Sharia are absolutely essential. So anyway, when women go out, only for necessity they should go. And then limit it also to the extent of necessity. They went for one work, just do that one work and come back. It's a common habit with women, we'll just go here also. We are out, let us just go there also. No, that should not be the case. Just for the reason that dressing must be also how Sharia wants it. Not to be smart and to fit in with everyone at the airport, how everyone else is dressed, we must dress like that. In the aeroplane, how everyone else is dressed, we must know. We must maintain ours. So Allah give us tawfiq and to understand every law of Sharia and to practice accordingly, and really without doubt, Allah will make our jannat in this dunya. And then that jannat will come on its time, which we cannot imagine. But yeah, our jannat. So let us see also with our food that we eat. What we are going to eat this Ramadan. Don't leave it for next Ramadan. Don't take it lightly. And this really sends shock waves. When one good madrasa we went and we were eating, and then we asked this meat, from where is it? And the person who was in charge, he was also fully in charge, he said, from a certain butcher. And he said, I think it is all right. Now for halal and haram, and you say, I think it is. For halal and haram is an absolute thing. There is no thinking whether it is alright. We have to be very, very particular. Very many years ago, before even this halal certificate system started in our country, when in Natal they were a bit more lax on this matter, Transvaal, Mufti Sanjalvi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, Rahmatan Wasia, was very strict. But so I asked one very senior alim there, if you people return late from traveling, you came home and you need to cook now, you want meat, there isn't in the house, will you buy this slaughterhouse chicken? So he said, yes, we buy them. Now a person of that caliber, they also eating that meat, which is so, so doubtful. So it is a very, very serious matter. We all should consider and be very careful which side with who we are siding. And don't worry much about the ulama. That's not our work. There are other ulama who are sorting that out. Our work is me, myself. Am I on the right side or the wrong side? Of the 73 groups that will go to Jahannam, only one will have salvation. Am I in that group or am I among the 72 other groups? Allah give us tawfiq and guide us to righteousness.